Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 9 Days in Heaven, a true story by Denison Nolane. Prince revisits a 19th century account attributed to Marietta Davis, a young woman in 1848 who lay unconscious for 9 days and later reported a sweeping vision of the world to come. Presented for a modern Christian audience, the Princes update the original language for readability while aiming to preserve the substance of the testimony. The book sits at the intersection of devotional literature, afterlife testimony, and popular Christian teaching about heaven and hell. Its purpose is not only to narrate an extraordinary near-death-like experience, but also to encourage reflection, repentance, and hope through a lens that the authors connect to scripture. Readers encounter scenes of paradise, warnings about the consequences of sin, and distinctive attention to the fate and care of children who die young. For many, the book functions as comfort and grief, and a call to live with eternity in view. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a 19th century vision retold for contemporary readers. A central feature of the book is its relationship to an older source. The story is rooted in a reported 1848 event in which Marietta Davis was said to have entered a prolonged unconscious state and later described what she experienced. Rather than presenting the narrative only as a historical curiosity, Denis and Nolane Prince position it as a living testimony for present-day readers. They emphasize accessibility by updating 19th-century wording into modern English, while framing the account with Christian commentary and pastoral intent. This editorial approach shapes the reading experience in two ways. First, it keeps the narrative flowing like a story, helping readers engage the imagery without wrestling with archaic phrasing. Second, it invites readers to interpret the testimony through a biblical worldview, treating it as spiritually instructive rather than merely sensational. The result is a book that feels both historical and devotional, an older report carried forward by contemporary Christian authors who want the message to land in the daily life of believers. Believers, secondly, heaven is vivid hope and moral orientation. Much of the book focuses on the attractiveness of heaven, describing it as a realm of beauty, order, and joy for the redeemed. The narrative presents heaven not only as a destination, but as a perspective that reorients present life. Readers are encouraged to view earthly suffering, loss, and temptation in light of eternity, with heaven portrayed as more real and more satisfying than anything temporary. In the Prince's telling, this hope is not meant to drift into vague comfort. It is connected to worship, obedience, and confidence in God's character. The book also places emphasis on the redeemed enjoying the goodness of the new creation, highlighting restoration rather than escape. That framing can be especially meaningful for readers who associate afterlife discussions only with fear or uncertainty. By concentrating on the desirability of communion with God and the blessings of paradise, the book aims to strengthen perseverance and nurture a practical longing for holiness rooted in expectation, not merely obligation. Thirdly, hell is a warning about sin and separation from God. Alongside its hopeful vision, the book includes stark depictions of hell and the plight of the lost. The narrative uses these scenes as moral warning, underscoring that sin has consequences and that spiritual realities extend beyond death. In this framework, hell is not included for shock value alone, but to press the urgency of repentance and faith. The Princes support this emphasis with biblical references and teaching points, signaling that they see the testimony as consistent with Scripture rather than replacing it. For readers, these sections can function as a spiritual wake-up call, challenging complacency and shallow views of judgment. At the same time, the book tends to present these warnings in a pastoral register. The aim is to move people toward God, not merely to frighten them. This combination of vivid imagery and scriptural anchoring is part of why many readers describe the book as both intense and spiritually weighty. Fourthly, infants' heaven and the care of children who die. One of the most distinctive themes associated with this account is the attention given to children who die on earth. The book describes a special emphasis on the nurture and teaching of these children in heaven, sometimes referenced as infants' heaven. This theme addresses a question that often arises in grief: what becomes of little ones who die too soon. The Princes highlight this aspect as deeply comforting, and their personal context of loss is commonly mentioned in discussions of why they were drawn to the story and motivated to adapt it for a new audience. Rather than treating the subject only emotionally, the book presents it as part of a broader vision of God's tenderness and purposeful care beyond this life. For grieving parents and families, this focus can provide language for hope and a framework for trusting God amid unanswered questions. For other readers, it expands the book's portrayal of heaven into a place of continued growth, learning, and loving nurture. Lastly, scripture supported reflection and practical application. A recurring aim of 9 Days in Heaven is to function as more than an extraordinary story. The Princes surround the narrative with biblical references, teaching points, and practical observations so that readers are invited to evaluate the account through Scripture and to respond with lived change. This approach places the book in a devotional and instructional category rather than pure memoir or folklore. The practical thrust is clear: keep eternity in view, pursue godliness, and let the hope of heaven and the seriousness of judgment shape priorities. Many readers report needing to pause and reflect, which aligns with the book's intent to be spiritually substantial rather than quickly consumed entertainment. Even for those who approach near-death testimonies cautiously, the structure encourages discernment by emphasizing Scripture as the interpretive standard. In that sense, the book operates like a guided meditation on eternal realities, using narrative to stir the imagination while repeatedly returning to Christian doctrine and daily obedience. In conclusion, 9 Days in Heaven: A True Story is best suited to Christians who want a devotional, narrative-driven exploration of heaven and hell, as well as readers drawn to historical testimonies of near-death-like experiences. It can also be a meaningful companion for those grieving, particularly parents and families wrestling with the loss of children, because the book repeatedly emphasizes God's tenderness and the hope of life beyond death. The practical benefit is motivational. It presses readers to live more intentionally, to examine sin honestly, and to anchor hope in eternity rather than circumstances. Intellectually, it offers a case study in how modern Christian authors adapt an older religious narrative, framing it with biblical references and teaching points to encourage discernment and application. What helps the book stand out in its category is its combination of three elements: a 19th-century origin story, vivid descriptive scenes that many readers find memorable, and an explicit effort to connect the account to Scripture rather than treating it as a standalone revelation. Readers who appreciate afterlife-themed Christian books but want something both pastoral and historically rooted are likely to find it distinctive and emotionally resonant. If you would like to support Dennis Prince, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.